Okay, folks, let's go ahead and get started. I'm going to actually change the share mode of my screen here. I had some goofy technical issues in my last session. They are unexplainable, but I have made sure that they will not be plaguing us in this session. So hopefully you're in the right session. We are going to be learning about Visual Studio Code. This is not necessarily a beginner session. I think with something like Visual Studio Code, there's not really a whole lot of need for a beginner session, like how do you write in a text editor and blah, blah, blah. This is going to be like ninja tips, okay? This is going to be more advanced, more of the undiscovered features at least, of Visual Studio Code. And I hope that I will inspire you not only to just grasp what I'm going to share with you about what Visual Studio Code is capable of, but also send you on a journey of discovering even more of the features, because there are a lot more that I'm not able to fit in the context of this session. So my name is Jeremy Foster. I work at Microsoft. I've been in a developer evangelist role for the last 5 years. I like it because I always say the only thing I like more than writing code is talking about writing code. It's a lot of fun. And you can find me online at codefoster.com. This deck is at codefoster.com/deck/codeboss. So you don't need to take pictures of any of the slides. They're all there for you. You can download them and use them to your heart's content. Using VS Code like a boss. So I'm going to break this into a few sections. First, the basics of code, the things that you probably already know, but I want to make sure that you know so that we're all. And then some information about what I'll generally call layout control. It's just basically how the editor is arranged, how to control your windows and things. Editing, so this is dealing with the code. This is the beauty of it all. As we know, the code is gospel. That's the documentation may not be current, but the code is gospel. Source control, I just have a little bit of content here. There's probably plenty to see in source control, but I've just pulled out a couple of little nuggets for you. And then finally, extensions. Visual Studio Code is extensible and has a really rich ecosystem. And I'm constantly discovering, I always ask people that use code, what are your favorite extensions? Because inevitably, I'll discover one that I can't believe I've lived without for so many months. So that's what I'm going to cover today. I'm going to be using Karnak to show my keys. You can find Karnak online. Basically, you'll see the keystrokes that I make show up as kind of semi-translucent on the bottom. So if I make a keystroke, you might be able to catch it there. You'll certainly be able to go to Channel 9 afterwards and see exactly what I did. Hopefully that's helpful to you. A case for code. Why would you want to use code? Where does it fit? Who's using it? So on. It was started in 2015. It had a code name like everything else that comes out of Microsoft. And it was essentially an evolution of the Monaco browser. So we had this tooling to do IDE stuff in the browser, and it was codenamed Monaco. And then that came through an Electron app to the desktop, which means that it landed on all of the major operating systems at once. It's been open source, which is really exciting. There's a lot of online energy. It's one of the largest open source, from an activity standpoint, it's one of the largest open source projects that we have. It's iterating really quickly. And if you just go look at the latest release, the latest like monthly release, and look at all the features that they implemented and all the bugs that they squashed, it's really impressive. They're doing a lot. There are something like 5,500 open issues, or at least 5,500 issues, I believe, in the repo on GitHub. And they are actually able to kind of keep up with those. Every time I've submitted a bug or a feature, I get a response back pretty quick. It's pretty great. You can go to SO Tag Trends. This is the thing that killed me in my last session, but I just tested that it worked. SO Tag Trends is a really cool website that scrapes Stack Overflow. And you can enter tag names from Stack Overflow, and it'll show you how many posts with that tag have been posted to Stack Overflow. And so it's not a perfect rendition of activity or interest or love, but it is a nice place to start. And if you type in their VS Code, you'll get to see what the history has looked like. There it is, starting in 2015, and a really steep up ramp. Ignore this last drop at the end. That's just a charting bug. But really, really steep up ramp right there, and no signs of slowing up. And if you compare this to something like Sublime, which is not a perfect comparison, it's a little bit more of a text editor or something. It's I typed in the wrong one. It's actually Sublime text. Sublime text, you can see that market share is being reduced, and if you do something like the Atom editor, this one's got some momentum, but not quite as much as this jolt that Visual Studio Code is getting. And every community I go to, I hear people that may love or hate Microsoft, but they love Visual Studio Code. And that's really wonderful, and I do too. It's one of my favorite things we've ever made. Somehow, and I'll leave it to your imaginations to figure out how, somehow we secured the Twitter code handle. So you can keep up with code on Twitter at simply code, at code. That's pretty impressive. I bet we just talked nice to somebody and got that. This is about code, but from the perspective of how do you use code like a boss, and what are you trying to do? It's not like you're trying to write better software. I mean, we always are, but that's not necessarily an IDE thing. We're trying to be more productive at what we do. And so I'm looking at a few time wasters. Where is it that I spend my time in a development day wasted? Time that I don't have to spend. And it's more apparent to me when I'm paired programming with somebody else and I see the things that they do, and I go, why would you do it that way? And so I learn a few of the time wasters that way. And hopefully, I'll take some time to kind of sharpen the axe, to step back and say, where am I spending my time? And I just can't even see it because I'm blind to my own bottlenecks like that. Hunting for a command. If you ever find yourself like looking through the menus or hovering over the toolbar buttons or right-clicking on everything in sight to figure out where that thing was, you're wasting some time there. And hopefully there's a better way to do it. And hopefully I'll talk about that here pretty soon. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Simply deleting a line of code. I can't tell you how many times I've sat next to somebody and we've determined, okay, let's go ahead and remove that line. And then they go to the mouse and they like highlight it from the beginning to the end, and then they hit backspace, up to the next line, and oops, went too far, enter. I'm like, we just deleted a line, and it took us 17 seconds. This is ridiculous. If we add this up, this is going to be significant portions of our life. People spend a lot of time with the difficult characters. Maybe we all took typing lessons in high school, or if there's any whippersnappers here, maybe you took typing lessons later than high school. But in typing class, we didn't learn how to type all of the symbols that we use as developers, and sometimes we're not explicit enough with practicing those. If you go to keyhero.com/specifically that URL, I found a really cool online typing test that's free, and you can paste whatever code in there you want, and that becomes the test. So you go paste a function in there, complete with some curly braces and some arrays and whatever, and then time yourself and practice it in there and get better at it. You're going to shave seconds or minutes off of your day or week or month or whatever, and you're going to get better. I talk about a lot of these kinds of tips. I called them key hacks in another session that I did, and there's the URL for it. So if you're interested in that, I basically called that your mouse is stealing your time, and I have a bunch of hacks in there. Using a mouse to select blocks of text from here to there, click, drag, next line, previous line, pretty much using the mouse to do anything. Anytime you find yourself moving your hand over there to the mouse or down to the touchpad, fail. Like, consider that a fail. Figure out why you had to do that and fix it. Keep your hands on the keyboard and improve your speed on things. Cut, copy, and paste is something that we do. I mean, I don't. I originate all of my code. But some of you, I think, probably go copy code off the internet and paste it. And I sat next to a rock star developer one time, and I was so impressed with the speed at which he could just type, but I was really impressed at the fact that his eyes didn't go down to the keyboard whenever he hit cut, copy, paste. And I thought, I still look in order to hit that control and hit that X, and that's taking a lot of time for me to do. And all it took was about a half hour of practice. Went into that and I started doing cut, copy, paste, copy, paste, 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 cut, copy, copy, like that over and over and over. And pretty soon, I was good at it. Now I never look anymore when I do cut, copy, paste. And that tip alone has saved me so much time, I can't even tell you. Really, really good one. Be deliberate and intentional about it. This is your career you're talking about. Editing columnar code. We get the columns of code that are all lined up, and we need to change something on 12 lines. And we go, just change and change and change, down, left, 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 down, left, 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 change, 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 until we get to the bottom, and then we're done, and we're, you know, we don't even think about the fact that that was kind of a painful process. So these are some of the productivity hits that I'm going to attempt to remedy for you by showing you some of the cool things about code. But first, some of the basics about code. Launching code from the command line. If you're going to start and typing code, or hopefully you're not like browsing through your start menu. That would be crazy. There's a better way to do it. I'm going to jump into my command line here, and I can just do Win3 to open that up. Is that small enough for everybody? Can you see that? Okay, I'll go the other way. There we go. Okay, so I'm here inside my code folder. I'm going to go into one of my projects. It's under Waterbug, and I'm going to say code this, and it's going to launch code. And because I pointed it to a folder, that was this Water Rower folder, it's going to open Waterbug with kind of a project context. It's aware of the fact that you're working on a project here. If, on the other hand, I looked at the code in here and I saw that there's a gitignore file and I said code gitignore, it's going to launch just a file. That's a whole different context than, and actually it reused this IDE. That's kind of a new feature. You'll see that in the latest release. So I'm going to do that again after having closed Visual Studio Code, and you see that it's not launching me in a context, so I don't have a project over here. I just am editing a file. It wasn't very long after code was released and I was starting to get used to it that I decided, man, this is going to be my text editor now. Goodbye Notepad++. This is fast enough that I'm going to go ahead and edit my text files, my XML files, my JSON files, all those files right here in Visual Studio Code. Because if I don't have to wait for some tens of seconds for my IDE to boot up, then that's great. That'll work for me. So that's launching from the command line. Do know that there is a flag called wait that's important in certain scenarios. Let me go to another project. Let me go to this project and I'll get stash. Get stash, because apparently I was working on it. I don't even know what I was doing. So here I am. I'm at the head, and I don't have any changes. I'll clear my screen. And I'm going to show you a git log of the last few commits here. And let's just go back a few commits, like to this E55C or so. And I'm going to do a quick rebase. I'm going to say git rebase. A quick way to do that is to just say head-5. That means do a rebase with the commit that is five commits up from where I'm at currently. I'm going to do this rebase, and it's going to try to do it. But if I say git rebase head-5i, that means make that an interactive rebase. And what that does, it might actually jump right out here. No, it's going to jump me into code and give me an opportunity to edit all of the steps of that rebase. So I can say, yeah, I'm interested in this one, but I want to squash it. I don't need an actual commit and message for that one. Same here, I want that, but I want to squash it. And see, it's given me the names down here. And then I can say, well, here's one I want to use it, but I want to reword it. That was kind of a nice commit message for while I was working on it, but it's not a good commit message for submitting to the internet for everybody else to use. So I use all of these, and the point here is that code is being told to wait for me while I do this interactive rebase, and then when I close this, which I'm not going to do, it's going to trigger that rebase is going to actually occur. So I'm going to go ahead and control C out of there so that it doesn't happen, and do a git rebase abort to make sure that I don't hose myself there. But that's the very important wait flag in Visual Studio Code. You'll notice that throughout this presentation, I have a lot of keyboard shortcuts. All the keys are in green. And I know it's a lot. I considered whether I should put them in there or not, but they're in there for posterity. So if you go back and you look at this, this might be a good way to reference these keyboard shortcuts for you. But I know it's a lot for the screen. If you want to view one of the various workspaces of Visual Studio Code, like you're in Visual Studio Code and you want to switch to the Explorer or the Find menu or Source Control, those are simply Control Shift and then these keys. And you need to remember these keys. Control Shift, E for Explorer, F for Find, G for Source Control, because primarily, initially, it was only Git. For debugging, it's D, and for the extensions, it's X. So commit those to memory. Now, there's one trick to remembering keyboard shortcuts that I'm going to share with you that is guaranteed to work, and that is use them every single time. If you're trying to switch to the Explorer and you go, what's the keyboard shortcut? I don't remember. I guess I'll just click on it. fail, you're not going to remember next time either. So when you need to switch to Explorer, take the hit in your workflow, the time hit, right now, and go hover over it and see what the shortcut is, and then resist the temptation to click on it because it's quicker. Move your mouse away and then hit the keyboard shortcut. And I guarantee after 3 or 4 times, that shortcut's in your mind, okay? And you're going to get faster and faster that way. You're going to be shaving minutes off of your day in no time flat. You can definitely commit to memory the next shortcut, because with this shortcut, you can access all the other things that Visual Studio Code does. So you can either use Control-Shift-P or F1 to open the command palette. The nice thing about the command palette is that everything code is capable of is in the command palette. You want to do something like add a line comment, or you've got an extension installed maybe, and you want to access one of the commands from that extension. Everything that you're able to do is in here. It's in the command palette. And you access that with either Control-Shift-P or F1, okay? So when you forget where to go to like do something with Git, you want to do a Git checkout too, or you want to do a Git clone, there they are. They're right there. Once again, however, you might want to remember what that command shortcut is, because even jumping up to the command palette and typing it is going to be a hit. If you remember that keyboard shortcut, it's going to save you some time. Next, we have, that's the command palette. There's another thing called quick open, which it's funny because it's really just the command palette without the little caret. It's the same thing. The command palette's the command palette, but to quickly open something, it launches the command palette. I'm going to go ahead and hit Control-P. It launches the command palette without that little caret. If you're in here and you decide you don't know what the name of the thing was, you can go ahead and just type the caret and then start typing Git, and there you go. But you can do things in here, like if I want to jump down to line 30 in this code file without having to touch my mouse to scroll, I can hit Control-P, colon 30, and it's going to jump me down to line 30. Control-P also allows me to type the name of a file like gitignore, enter, and jump directly to a file. So it's a very quick way to navigate through the files. You can also navigate to symbols. So I'm going to hit Control-Shift-E to get back to my Explorer. And in my Explorer, in this version of code, I don't even have a project open. So I'm going to go ahead and code the whole project here. Now, in my, say, my types.ts, that's not a good example. Let's open index.ts. I've got this thing called setup streams. Now, I can go to Control-P, and I can type @, and then it's going to give me names of all of the symbols in this file. So it's a quick way to navigate within this file at all of the method names, properties, things like that. Or if I ditch the colon, now it's going to find symbols across my whole project, whether they're in this file or another one. That's going to depend a bit on this being one of the languages where Visual Studio is capable of getting type information. And that's not just TypeScript. It's actually able to use the TypeScript compiler to get JavaScript, to get types even when you're just working in JavaScript. But it's going to need to be able to figure out those types. So for some languages, it's not going to be able to. So that's the quick open. There's a few more symbols than what I'm telling you. There's one that I thought was really cool. I can go Control-P, and then I can flip through this list, and I can hit the right arrow on a few of these, like that one, and that one, and that one, and that one, and I've just opened all of those. So I don't have to individually keep launching the quick open. I can do a search for all things called index, and I can quickly use the right arrow to open my HTML, my JS, and my CSS, whatever. And also, I beg you, go to your settings file. That's under the file menu. Just go to your user settings and find the files autosave property option and turn it to after delay. This sets Visual Studio Code up to always save your files as you edit them. Once you make an edit, I think the default delay is 0.5 or 1 second, something like that. So after that delay, it's saved. And if you were like me at first, I was like, that's catastrophic. There's no way I can do that, because what if I go in and I make a change and then I come back later and I don't know whether I wanted that change to take place? Well, if you're working in source control, which I usually am, then you're going to be able to see those changes, and later you're going to be able to determine whether you wanted to commit those or not. But it's way better to have it on autosave, in my opinion, where I know that at any given point in time, I can shut down all my IDEs. I can shut down all instances of code, and I'm not gonna have any trouble. That's an awesome feature. Search and replace, very important, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because it looks largely like it does in any other IDE. In fact, if you are used to Visual Studio, the keystrokes are even the same. It does do a really good job with giving you a preview of what things are going to take effect. So for instance, if you want to do a search and replace across your whole project and you're using a regular expression, it's kind of complex and you want to see what's going to happen, it gives you a really good visual of all of that. So it's very awesome. And do know that when you're doing a project level find, the find in files or replace in files, you can hit F4 to navigate through those results, and that is going to speed you up a whole lot. But that's all the time I'll spend on that. Now, you'll wonder maybe why I'm putting all these keyboard shortcuts in here when you could just go into the product and ask it for what all the keyboard shortcuts are. And here is how you do that. But again, I'm going to kind of duplicate and put that in my project as well. There's a PDF file. If you're in the product and you just hit Control K and you keep the Control key down and hit R, so Control K, Control R, it's going to open a PDF file in the browser, hit print on this, and then take it to bed and study it. I guarantee your spouse is going to love you for that. And memorize every single one of these. Now, you probably won't, but you'll look through there and you'll go, that one will help me in my job a lot. I am going to remember that one. I like to do that. You also can do Control KS and edit your keyboard shortcuts. So that's going to bring up this keyboard shortcut editor where I can say, you know what, for new file, what's the keyboard shortcut? Control N, maybe I want to override that, which as I'll show you later is something that I chose to do. So I told you this tip, use the keyboard shortcuts every time. The other tip, study the shortcut reference. That's going to make you faster. Now let's look at some, we're done with the basics, level set. Now we're going to look at some layout control in Visual Studio, okay? First topic is editor windows. Not a whole lot on this, but there's this one tip that I think is really handy. By default, when you're in a project, and I'm going to open up my Explorer here, you've got all these files. I'm going to go ahead and use a shortcut that I'll teach you later to close all editors. I'm going to click on this file. Now, at the top, you'll see that it's opened it in a tab. By the way, the tabs are default. You can turn those off if you'd like. But it's opened it in a tab, but it's open temporarily. You're just kind of looking at this file. The reason for this is if I am just clicking through here, I don't really want to open all these files and have them pollute my tab strip. So whenever you click on one, it shows it to you, but it's italicized. It's like it's not really open. Now, if I went ahead and started editing it, you'd see that the italics goes away, and now I'm editing that file. So I'm going to close that file. I'm going to click on it again. It's italicized. How do you tell it, I'm actually really interested in this file. I'm going to switch away, but I don't want this to go away. Because, see, if I click on a different one, that one goes away, and I'm on the new one. So the way to do that is to hit Control K, Enter. It doesn't make any edits to the file, but it kind of pins it. It kind of says, I'm interested in this file. Leave it here for me. So that's a really cool tip for your editor windows. Now, one of the cool things that you can do in Visual Studio Code is edit side by side. What they have is three groups, and they can either be side by side or above and below, but they call them groups, and they are numbered 1, 2, and 3. And when you open files, you can actually open them in any of these three groups, which is nice because then you can put files next to each other. So let's say I'm going to close this file. I don't have any files open. I want to open datapoints.ts, but I want to open it. I want to open it in the first one. Now I want to open index.ts, but I for some reason want to open that next to it. So I'm going to hold down Control while I open it, and now it's in a different group. And now I can see these both at the same time. Maybe I have tons of screen real estate, and that's really great for me. And so that works. I can still switch between these. I'm going to go ahead and kind of pin that one. And when I hit Control Tab, it's going to switch between all of the files that are just in that one editor group. That's what those are called, as editor groups. And then you can switch those groups by saying, I'm going to now say Control 2. And now I'm in that right pane, and I can pin that one with Control K, Enter. And now I can hit Control 1 to edit this file, or Control 2 to edit this file, and I haven't moved my hands away from the keyboard. You can open a preview of a markdown file to the side. So I'm going to open a markdown file. Here's the readme.md. Here's a keyboard shortcut I'm going to use now. I'll show you right now. Control B. By the way, I don't know, well, first of all, I don't know why Control B was, I've just installed this Markdown tool shortcuts, and I bet that's why. I'm hitting Control B, and it's not doing what I asked it to. The keyboard shortcut has overridden. It's supposed to hide my Explorer window here. I can also just hit, well, that's not going to work. There we go. I just clicked on it over here. Anyway, Control B is supposed to, if you don't have an extension installed that steals it, it's supposed to hide this editor window. So I have this Markdown file. I'm going to hit Control K, and then this chord is not Control K, Control V. It's just Control K and then V. So I hit Control K and then V, and I open this Markdown file in preview next to me. Okay? And so now as I edit this file, I can actually see what that's going to look like over here in the Markdown, and that's really nice. Now, there's on the resources page at the very end of my presentation, which you'll have, there's a link to Chris Dias's presentation on some underused tips and tricks in code. I used some of those because they're awesome. One that I didn't actually implement, although I wished I had time to, he shows, and that is the ability to open a Markdown file. It's an extension. The ability to open a Markdown file in preview next to that file using Reveal.js, so showing it as slides. And I think that's really awesome. And if you're interested in that, I just want you to know that it exists. So this is one really common way to use the side-by-side is as a WYSIWYG editor. I'm going to edit it over here, and I'm going to look at it over there. It's nice to be able to close things with Control W, but also Control K W to close all of your windows. I use that one all the time. Okay, now let's get on to some editing. First of all, some of the basics, because I still run into developers that don't know some of the basic text editor things. Of course, everybody knows you can use the arrow keys to navigate your text, but you can also use Control to skip by word or line or paragraph and Shift to highlight. And if you're not doing that right now, you might want to tune into it because it can save you valuable time. I'm going to jump to the top here, and I'm going to highlight that line with Shift down. Anytime you use Shift, of course, and then use your arrows, navigate with your arrows, it's going to select along the way. So down goes to the next line, but it selects that line. That's a really easy way to just delete a whole line. This is to battle that guy I told you about that does this. Right, right, backspace, backspace, done. Oh, seriously? Okay. So simply, home. Shift down, I'm ready to delete that line. When I go to the end, you hit end, and it takes you to the end of that line. If you hit control down, it takes you to, in this case, it scrolls the page without moving, or down will go down by the line, and then all of these merge. So control right will move by word, but control shift right will highlight by word. I'm not going to go into any more detail on that, but if you're not using that today, you probably should be. Now, you can also expand and contract the selections. So let's go ahead and open index.ts, because that's a code file. Expanding and contracting your selection is, it uses the symbolic understanding of the language to say when your cursor is inside of a thing, a symbol, and you want to expand it, I can understand what these symbols are. This is a string, this is the whole function, that's the whole block that the function is within, and I can intelligently expand that for you. So here I am inside of this value, which is being passed to the exec method, which is being assigned to the m variable, which is inside of the map function, and so on and so forth. I'm going to hit Shift-Alt-Right, and it's going to say, well, I'm just going to expand that selection, even though I was right in the middle of it, to that symbol. Now, the alternative is for you to go right, right, shift, left, 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 left. Or control right, control shift left. Or, I hope you don't do this, reach over to the mouse and highlight that entire word. Now, you can say the IDE has an understanding of that object, and so this is going to work to simply shift, alt, right, and it'll expand it. And now I can keep on going. Right again, and it selects that entire value. Right again, the value with its parentheses, because that's what you wanted to cut and paste somewhere else. Right again, there's the line. Right again, there's the function body. Right again, there's the function body with the curly braces, and so on and so forth. All the way up to the top and all the way back down. Super, super helpful. I don't find too many people that use that, but I think most anybody would benefit from it. Also, if you're here and you're editing this file, and then you jump to another file, and now you're here, and you're like, where was I just now? It might be in my control tab, or it might be in my memory, but if you're like me, maybe it's in neither, and I don't know where I just was. Alt left, just like your browser, will take you back to the last place that you were. So, whether that was in the same file or a completely different file altogether, and alt right will take you back forward. Really good way to navigate your text files. You can also go to the matching bracket with control shift backslash. So you're way up here and you're like, I'm going to delete this block, but I don't remember where it ends. And have you ever had 75 curly and parentheses and square braces? And you're like, which one is it? I need to delete to the end of this thing. Well, if you hit control shift backslash, it's going to jump you immediately to that matching bracket. It's invaluable for the IDE to have an understanding of the types in your code. That's one of the reasons. Multi-select is always impressive. Multi-select means that I can put my cursor in multiple places and then start editing. And the edits will take effect on all of those. I can go, for instance, say, you know what? All of these were not supposed to be curly braces. Those were supposed to be square braces. So I can hold down Control-Alt, and I can go down. And you see that it's actually made my cursor long. It's added a new cursor on each line. And now I can hit Control-Alt with Shift, because remember, Shift also highlights, and I can highlight something and then extend that down. And now I can type a square brace, and the bracket matching has kind of made that a little bit goofy, but I can edit that, and I'm editing all four of those lines at the same time. Now, this is not constrained to directly directly above another. I could also click here and hold down Control and Alt, and click in multiple locations. And now I can Control Shift Left. And I don't know why it didn't select the whole word, but anyway, I can select from there, or I can just start backspacing, and I'm editing on all of those lines. Pretty helpful. You can also select a few lines. And you can Shift-Alt-I. I didn't know that one because I don't use this very often. And now my cursor is at the end of all of those lines. I actually should remember that one and use it more because that sounds pretty helpful to me. Code folding is just a visual thing. It doesn't actually change your code, but sometimes you've just got too much code to look at. And so you can do things like say, you know what, this whole array here, I just want to fold that. So I'm going to Control-Shift-Left square brace, or Control-Shift-Right square brace to collapse it. Oops, that was the wrong key. To collapse it or expand it. And then you can say Control-K-0 to collapse everything, or Control-K-1, 2, 3, 4 to collapse or expand to just a certain level of code. So if you've got a pretty complicated file, you can in one keystroke, or one key chord at least, you can get it really compact and not see the deep information that you really don't need right now. Control-KJ, by the way, will uncollapse all. So those are pretty helpful. How are we doing on time here? We're doing pretty good. Snippets. Snippets are amazing. Snippets are really well implemented in Visual Studio Code. I know they exist in almost any IDE I've ever used. In Visual Studio Code, I really like them. There are user snippets, and then there are store snippets, extension snippets, they're called. And so you can go to the extensions and find a snippet that somebody else has created. So you could go find John Papa's Angular snippets, and all of a sudden you have them all. Or if there's something that you type a lot, then you can add it to your user snippets. You can also use Emmet. Emmet is a standard that is implemented in a lot of IDEs. And I always do this, and this is always interesting. Raise your hand if you knew about Emmet already. It's a very small proportion of people. It's like less than 10% of you that have heard of Emmet before, and it's really cool. So I'm going to jump into Visual Studio. I'm inside of a project here. Huge thanks to Daniel Egan for pointing out to me this tip where whenever I hit Control N, it creates an untitled file like this. And then when I edit it, I have to like make sure I go save it somewhere. And sometimes that's a pain. So I've overridden the default shortcut where if I hit Control N, it actually writes a file in my file system over here and asks me to name it. So that's really handy. But I actually want the other functionality right now. I just want an untitled file. And now what kind of file is this? Well, Visual Studio Code has no idea. You haven't even named it yet. It can't guess by the extension. It can't guess by what you've typed. But I can hit Control K and then M and tell it this is an HTML file. And now I haven't even saved it yet, but I've told Visual Studio Code, treat this like an HTML file and use that as the parser and as the IntelliSense and so on. So now I can use my emit. I can do something like div tab. And div will be expanded to a tag with a closing tag. And you go, oh, that's a big deal. It's not a big deal. But the rest of this will be. With emit, I can use the HTML. And it will create for me HTML, big deal. But if I type HTML colon 5 and expand it, look at that. And there's tab stops, so I can go enter the device width, the content, the document title, and then the body, and I'm ready to start editing this thing. Emmet is really extensive, too. Go look at emmet.io, look at the documentation. There's a cheat sheet on emmet.io, and you'll become a ninja just by doing that. With emmet, you can do things like, well, let me go ahead and bring that back. So here's my HTML, and in the body, I want to go ahead and do some interesting snippets. So I showed you HTML5. Let me show you... on snippets, let me just go ahead and copy this. All right, now I'm going to leave that as a comment, and then I'm going to do this kind of progressively. By just doing pound page, you guys know CSS? Pound page would match any element with an ID of page. Emmet takes advantage of the fact that you already know CSS. And it says, if you type a CSS selector, I'll turn it into HTML. So you type at page or pound page, and it writes, it defaults to a div, and it writes a div with the ID of page. Super exciting. But if you then say, and a div with dot logo, that means a div with a class of logo if you were trying to apply a CSS rule, right? So now it writes a div with an ID of page, and inside it is a div with a class of logo. And it just gets crazier and crazier from there. So now, next to the logo, I want a UL. I want it to have the title navigation, or the ID navigation. Inside of it, I want a list item. Actually, I want 5 list items, each with an anchor tag that has the contents of the word item and then an integer. So it gets a little bit liberal with its definition of CSS, but it all makes really good sense. And then I say tab, and it becomes all of that code. Wow. And you can even do, instead of item here, I could say, you know what, this is going to be formatted, and I want this to have some lorem ipsum text, maybe 10 words of lorem ipsum. Oops, that didn't work. I don't use that, I use this. Hopefully I spelled, is it lorem or lorem? I spelled it right. There we go. So now it's got some lorem ipsum text. And if I look at this in my browser, I've got some text to start with. So Emmet is absolutely invaluable. It's not snippets, but it's much like snippets. And so I'm showing it to you here. And I have a link there to the cheat sheet for you. And then you can create your own snippets. All you do is you hit the keyboard shortcut, which I totally forgot what it is. So I'm just going to hit Control-Shift-P and go up here. And there's Create Snippet. And it's going to open the snippets. I'm going to go... make that a little bit easier to read. And I'm going to show you a snippet. Here's the name. You have to give it a name, otherwise when you make the next one, it will be overridden. And then give it a prefix, and then here's the body, and it's just an array of strings, each of the strings representing a line. And then whenever you type that prefix, you have the option to hit tab and have it be auto-expanded into something. So this one would take the word log. It's commented out right now, so it won't work. And it would expand it out to console log, and it would give you a tab stop inside the value of console log. So next topic. Don't save that. IntelliSense. IntelliSense is wonderful in code. Know that there's a difference between merely completing arguments for you, and like type ahead, and IntelliSense. IntelliSense is actually looking at the types and saying, not just this is some things I've seen you've used before, but this is what's valid here. If you're on a string, then a certain string function would be valid. And IntelliSense is wonderful. We all love it in Visual Studio. It's there in Visual Studio Code. Sometimes it doesn't work, and you go, why doesn't it work? And so I always go through this little logical flow. If you're working in Node, then go make sure that the NPM package is installed already. Otherwise, it has no source code to be able to discover anything for you. Check if the package that you're trying to use, like let's say you're trying to use the serial port module in Node, well, serial port is written in JavaScript. It doesn't have any types in it. So there's only so much it can do. It actually does, code does behind the scenes, use Visual Studio on a JavaScript. It uses TypeScript, and it discovers as much about the types as it can. But when I first used the serial port module, I was like, that's not good enough. So I went and contributed a definition file to the definitely typed library for serial port. And now anybody who uses serial port can go install the type, and then it's going to give them really rich IntelliSense on a JavaScript library. Very cool. So check if there's a published type definition, and if not, go create it yourself. They're not that hard. Do know that you've probably all experienced this in Visual Studio's excellent IntelliSense, that you can do camel case. So if you're looking for toString, you could type TS and it would find toString, and that's pretty groovy. Miscellaneous, just a few things. Like I said, I overrode the default file creation so that Control N gives me an untitled, gives me an actual file in my project that I need to name, and Control Alt N gives me a new untitled file. You can do it however you want. Go-to definition is super cool, but we've all seen it. You're a .NET group. You've seen that if you're looking at a function call and you don't know how that's defined, you can hit F12 and take you to the definition. You can also Control-click. I won't bore you with it. Peak definition, same thing, but don't jump me out of context. Just show it right here, and VS Code has that. Rename a variable. There's limited factoring in Visual Studio Code, not nearly as much as Visual Studio with Roslyn or Visual Studio with Roslyn and ReSharper, but there is some ability to refactor because there's type understanding, and there's a lot of extensions that you can add to make it even smarter. But F2 does work to rename a variable, and that's great, and it also has function and block extraction, method and function extraction. You can block comment with Shift-Alt-R, but what I always use is Control-Slash to comment a range of lines. The nice thing is that it's smart enough to know what kind of code this is and apply the appropriate comment. So that would work whether you were in HTML or in something like TypeScript. And it works both ways. It toggles it. So same shortcut, easy to remember, Control-Slash. All right, let's look at some source control. We're doing good on time. Source control, I only use Git. There are other providers. You can go install Perforce for Visual Studio Code or SVN or whatever. I only use Git, so I don't know anything about the other ones. Supposedly, they work fine. But Git is my source control of choice, and I made a shortcut for Control-Shift-Alt-P, which doesn't exist. I made it I added it into my keyboard shortcuts so that whenever I hit that, it actually publishes my current branch up to the remote that I'm currently connected to. And then I want to show you one thing that, because largely the Git support, although it's awesome in VS Code, it's also not really that much of a surprise. So I'm not going to show you all of it, but I'm going to hit Control-Shift-G to take me to my source. And notice that there's one change here, the readme.md. I'm going to go ahead and control tab over to the readme, and I'm going to make a few changes. I'm going to make a change here where I add a paragraph. And then I'm going to make another change down here where I add new section body. Okay, back to my source control. It marks that readme.md has changes. My mini map on the right here shows me that I deleted a line on the top, I added this right here, and if I jump all the way to the bottom, that I added this section down here. Well, if you are a hacky developer, then you go, I just want to publish to my master branch. I just want to put it up there. I just made a bunch of changes. I'm just going to check them all in and put them up there. That's kind of hacky. It's not great if you're working on a team and you're trying to communicate well what changes you made and what issue they were applied toward or whatever. You need to do it in a sensible way. And let's say the top change and the bottom change were completely different things. You added the top one because of one feature request, and you added the bottom one because of one other feature request, and you only want to check in this one here. Well, if you're on the command line and you're working with Git, you would say git add this file, which was readme.md, and you just kind of have to add the whole file, right? Unless you use dash P, which stands for patch, and then Git gives you a command line interactive means of choosing which chunks of those file you want to stage, because you want to commit it separately from the other change. This is not a beautiful interface. I actually am kind of geeky and I like the command line, so this is kind of fun for me. But you can also do that in VS Code. So I can grab this, and I can go up here to this triple ellipse at the top and say stage the selected range. And it says illegal for line. I don't know why. That's really weird. I've literally never seen that error before. Stage the selected range. Okay, it's not working. Let me go to a different file. It might be because it's an MD. I don't know. Let me go to index.ts and make a change here. There's that one, and then there's, can't really change those types because it will invalidate. Let's say let x equal 10. All right, so now I've got two changes inside of index.ts, one for one reason and one for another. I'm going to come down here, fingers crossed, cross your fingers for me, please, stage the selected range. Yes. Okay, so now you can see in my source control that staged, I have this change, but only that change. And unstaged, for that same file, I have only this change and not the bottom one. And now I can have a commit message for one that says feature 10 and a commit message for the other one that says feature 11, and I'm a good citizen and my colleagues like me and they're willing to take me out to lunch and maybe even pay. I'm going to revert all changes, remove all of those changed files, and I'm back to where I was. Let's jump back to our slides. That was the only Git trick that I have, and I have 13 more minutes to show you a few awesome extensions and take questions and extension recommendations, because in a room like this, I bet there's about 6 extensions that you're using that I don't know about yet. Git history is really nice. I have Git history installed, therefore I can, anytime I want, go up to the command palette and type git view history, git log, and I say the current branch, and bam, it's showing me a visual of what this branch looks like. Mine is, this has mostly been a project that I've worked on, so there haven't been a lot of branching. I'm mostly just committing to master, forgiveness requested. But it visualizes it, which is awesome, and it shows me all of the commit IDs for each of those and allows me to do comparisons, cherry pick into the branch, or show me the full SHA for that one. It also allows me to, for a given file, like if I'm on index.ts, I can say git view file history, and I can see all of the commits for this one. So here's where I did a commit. I can click on it, and then I can compare it against my workspace file or against a previous version, and now I'm doing a comparison. So it makes it really easy to like browse through your Git history and say, what did we change there? What did we change there? What did we change there? There's also another one called Git Lens that I keep turned off. Git Lens is a lot like the lens in Visual Studio that gives you information for each method or member about who else has worked on that and when. It kind of brings all the Git blame right into the file for you. I'm going to skip over showing that to you because I don't actually have it enabled right now. Git node module, or search node modules is a really nice one. I'm going to kind of clean this up by closing all my work. Now, oftentimes, I've brought in a module, like maybe I brought in Moment.js to do some date-time math, and my stuff isn't working as I expect. And so I go, what's in the source code? And you guys ever F12 into the actual .NET source code and look at it and go, oh, that's why it's not working, because that's the way they did it, whether you're going to change it or not. Same thing, you have all the source code with the packages that you install, but those are all inside of the node modules, and usually by default, this node modules is not included in a global search. So if I go search for something in Moment, it's not going to show up here. So this extension allows me to hit Control-K, Control-N, and then it allows me to search through all my node modules that I have in this project and select it, and then choose, for instance, that index.js and open it right up. It's just a nice little UI for diving into all of the source code. MD Tools is absolutely invaluable. Let's show the readme.md. The reason why it's invaluable is because it gives me critical features like this one. Alt-T, well, let me go ahead and type dev intersection here first. Alt-T, and then I can say, I want to use ASCII art, and I want to use Star Wars, and it converts that into Star Wars ASCII art. And it got a little bit goobered up. That's pretty interesting. I wonder if it's just because it's too long. Let's just type yo, Alt-T, ASCII, Star Wars. There we go. Critical features, right? Critical. If I use an SDK for a product, and after I've installed the CLI, it doesn't have ASCII art in the CLI, I'm sorry, but it's gone. It's gone. Partial diff is wonderful. It allows me to be like, okay, this is crazy because this thing that I copied from the internet is working, but my thing is not working. And I don't see, let me just go ahead and stage a bug here. I don't see any difference between what I just copied and what I pasted in here, and mine doesn't work. So I can copy this one and then say Control-Shift-P, and I always forget the keyboard shortcuts, but I can say partial diff, select text for compare, and then I can select the other one and go to partial diff and say compare text with the previous selection, and it opens me up a new like window, and in the compare windows I can say I want these to switch to inline view, and then I can be, look at this, it is line for line. Oh, I've accidentally got an X in there, it's not verbatim. That was my bug. So I can grab two little arbitrary blocks of code and compare them using partial diff. Very nice. REST client is super cool. I can open a new file. Remember, I can just hit Control-Alt-N, and it just opens me a new untitled file. And I can say, what if I wanted to do a get to https://swappy.co? Does anybody know what swappy.co is? It's the Star Wars API. Commit that to memory. API planets, okay? I just want that to run. So I always forget the keyboard shortcut, REST client, send request is Control-Alt-R. Notice I did not select it, I closed it, and now I'm gonna hit Control-Alt-R, and it's going to issue that HTTP and show me the actual HTTP response over here on the right. Keep in mind that this is not, you'll also use Postman because sometimes you just want it to be easy. But what this, the value here is that this is letting you type the actual HTTP request and it's giving you the actual raw HTTP response. And that, my friends, is gorgeous. If you don't get excited about things like that, maybe you should go be a teller at a bank or something because this is not the job for you. Search node modules, I already told you, it's on there twice. I just love it that much, or I goofed up, but I wouldn't admit to that. Settings sync is one that I have, and settings sync allows me to synchronize all of my settings. I can update or upload my settings, and this is cool what this does. This takes all of my user-specific things in Visual Studio Code, like my keyboard shortcuts, my snippets, my this, my that, my user settings, and it sends them up to my GitHub account as a new gist, a private gist, and they're saved there. And now, whenever my computer crashes, and I need to reload it, and I come back, I install Visual Studio Code, and I just do a sync, and I've got all my settings again. Absolutely gorgeous. Because that's not built into VS Code. Some would argue that it should be. I love it when things like this are community contributions and not in the core product because not everybody wants it. And I, for one, don't want code to be bloated with a bunch of things I may or may not use. Likewise, just as cool, if I am looking at some code with a friend and I'm like, it's really this module exports that you want. He's like, okay, can you email that to me? Better yet, let me just select it and share code. And I can let me see how I do this. Share code, share. And I have the choice to use Pastebin or GitHub gist, and I have the choice to make it private or anonymous. So let's do an anonymous gist here, public. Description of your file, some method. I don't know. And now it's created that for me. It takes me out to it, and here's the URL that I can send somebody, and it takes them to that gist of just that highlighted section of code. And that is beautiful, and that is all I have. Here's a resource, a link out to Chris Dias's YouTube video that's very good, and I'm done. I'm ready to take questions. Any questions? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. A region so that you can collapse it?
No. Actually, for example, you have a div, a text, whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
Separate part of the text enclosed with a span or certain, just like.
Yeah. So I think that your question is, and I'll repeat it for the benefit of all, if I have a big block of text and I want to surround it with HTML tags, is there a quick and easy way to do that? That was called surround with snippets in Visual Studio. I don't know that that exists in Visual Studio code. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody said, no, you're wrong, it actually does, but I don't know about it. So what I currently do is I highlight it and hit Control X, span tab, Control V. It's not as nice as a surround with, but let's hit a Control Shift P whenever I don't know if something exists in Visual Studio code. I hit Control Shift P, and let's see if there's a surround. Let's just try snippet. No, it might exist in the snippet definition, but I don't think it does. Good question. Did I answer the right question? Okay. Yeah. You're already used to them. That's right. His question is, I'm really good at ReSharper. And what if I don't want to give up all of that? Well, Visual Studio Code doesn't have an equivalent. It instead has this extension ecosystem, and that would be available as an extension or many extensions. I don't use a lot of that anymore. I used to be like, ReSharper is everything to me. I don't do it as much anymore. I don't know why, but go look for extensions on refactoring, and some of those will help you. And also look for key mapping, because when somebody's coming over from Sublime and they know it really well, they can install the Sublime key map in Visual Studio Code, and now all the keyboard shortcuts are such that it feels like Sublime. And there may be a ReSharper key map. If there is, I don't know. I'm guessing. Keep Visual Studio current. Well, if you just go to code.visualstudio.com and install the public release, every once in a while you'll get the it's time to update. You click update and it restarts and you're all updated. But it only happens every few weeks. But if you go to code.visualstudio.com to the website and you like to live on the edge because you're a code cowboy like me, then you go to code.visualstudio.com and there is a link there. Mm-hmm. Where is it? Insiders build instead. And you install that insiders build. And now, instead of a pumpkin spice colored icon for VS Code like this, you'll get a green, like kind of a lime green icon. And you'll know that you're using the insiders build. And you can go into the settings and quickly kind of like say, pause, I've got to do a presentation tomorrow. I don't want you to update overnight. If you don't set that setting, it's going to be updating like practically daily. And so you'll be annoyed with a little like 12-second update every once in a while. But if you're like me, hey, I like living on the edge. So that's great. That's how to do it. More questions? Still got time. Any extensions that I didn't mention that you love? The slides? The slides can be found at codefoster.com/deck/codeboss. Let me just go ahead and while I'm bringing that up, what's the next question? Themes, yes, I didn't even talk about themes. Just go up to the menus and you'll find the themes in there. I actually have overridden, there's the URL for the slides, by the way. I can come back to that as a closing slide. The themes, I have a theme that gives, it's called VS Code-Icons. It's a very, very popular one. As a matter of fact, let's go look at that in the store, VS Code Icons. This is not a theme, this is an icon set, but there are both that kind of skin your UI. There are themes and there are icon sets. VS Code icons, look at this, 4 million downloads. So this is a really popular one, and it's a really, really good one. And then for themes, if you just type in themes in here, you're gonna find a lot of themes as well. And some of them are ridiculous, you know, hot dog stand or whatever, and some are awesome. I forgot what I'm actually using for my theme. Let's just go look real quick. File, no. View, no. Edit, no. Preferences, color theme. So I'm using Dark Plus, big deal. Everybody has, you know, people get maniac about those, yeah. Format the code?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Actually, I guess I skipped over that slide. I know I have the slide, but it didn't show. You can, anytime you want, and I do this all the time, Shift-Alt-F. It formats the whole document. I don't want to vary. Like, I don't want to be like, make exceptions, because I want to be able to control Shift-Alt-F anytime and format the whole document according to the standard. And then you can go set in preferences, in your settings, what are your standards? Do you like the K&R curly braces, or, you know, are you weird? Do you like spaces, four spaces, or are you weird, you know? I just, a little bit of opinion there. I may have revealed some opinion. Any more questions? Yes. Is what? The file type of what? Oh, it is a OneDrive share of a PowerPoint presentation. Good luck with that. Did you do it you did it in Chrome. You know what? I've been meaning to bash that bug on my website for a long time. For some reason, when you do that request in Chrome, my redirect doesn't work, and it prompts you to download a file, and I totally have to fix it, because I think a couple people use Chrome. Was there another question? Yeah. Yeah.
Is there an extension to edit remote files by SSH or something like that?
Oh, I don't know about that. That sounds awesome. There is. Do you know what the name of it is?
I forget what it's called.
He's not helpful at all.
No.
Yeah, actually, he is, because he said that it does exist, which gives me hope. Wonderful.
And I just Googled exactly that.
There you go. Okay, let's go ahead and end it. Thank you. Oh, wait, one more question? Let's do it. Yeah, it's the same actually. Let's go ahead and do that real quick. I'm gonna go to my README and click on the and hit Control D, and I'm multi-selecting each of those words. Yep. Okay, I'm gonna put the slide link back up. Thank you, everybody, I appreciate it.